As Kristen pointed out in the children's message, we are continuing our summer series on the book of Genesis. In the last few weeks, we have talked about the stories of Abraham and Sarah, of Hagar and Ishmael, of Isaac, and now we turn to the new generation, to Jacob. Jacob is the son of Isaac, the grandson of Abraham, the one in whom the family promise, the family blessing, is carried on. Our story today, our reading, comes from later on in Jacob's life, but we'll remember some of the other stories that led to this point. Let us listen for the word of the Lord from Genesis chapter 32. The same night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok, that is a river or stream. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, the man struck him on the hip, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then the man said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Israel in Hebrew means struggles or wrestles with God. But the man said, or Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, which means face of God. For he said, "I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I have a confession to make. This is something I don't tell people that often, but we are in church, and in church is a place where we tell the truth. For a few years, when I was a teenager, I was a huge fan of professional wrestling. I really got into it, and so did all of my friends. Monday nights and Thursday nights revolved around watching Hulk Hogan and Macho Man Randy Savage and Ric Flair and The Ultimate Warrior and so many others duke it out on TV. I had posters in my room of wrestlers. I even had bumper stickers on the back of my pickup truck. We practiced their moves on each other. Only once did my little brother have to go to the hospital. And one night, we drove to Mobile to see these guys in person at the Civic Center. It was a big deal. Of course, the drama of this professional wrestling was all scripted. The fights weren't in the slightest bit realistic. And the truth is, we knew it wasn't real. We knew it was fake, just entertainment, but we watched it anyway. Looking back, I'm not sure that I can say exactly why we watched it. Maybe we watched it for escape momentarily from the real life battles and struggles of adolescence. Maybe we watched it to laugh a little at the ridiculousness of the world around us. Maybe we watched it to laugh at ourselves. Maybe it was a little bit of all of the above. All of us, though, almost all of us, grew out of this phase of life. But back then, we needed a little fake wrestling to make it through a week. Jacob, the main character in our story today, has his own high-intensity wrestling match, but his is anything but fake. No, in fact, this is the most real moment in all of Jacob's life. This struggle, this conflict, this nighttime wrestling encounter is the defining moment of his journey of faith and salvation. And he walks away from it forever changed, forever transformed. Up until this moment, Jacob's identity has been formed by his strong desire to play by his own rules, to stack the deck in his favor, to privilege his own needs above those of others, to get whatever he could for himself by whatever means he could. In fact, his very name carried the meaning of trickster or swindler. Jacob and his twin brother Esau were fighting against each other even before they were born in their mother's womb. And as he grew up, Jacob's trickery would tear the family apart. As he conspired with his mother, betrayed his father, made an enemy of his brother when he cheated him out of his inheritance. Esau was so angry, he wanted to kill Jacob. And so he ran away. He skipped town to live as a fugitive on the run for years and years. It was in the midst of that escape that he had the vision of the ladder that we heard about in our children's message this morning. He went on to travel to a foreign land. He married two wives and had many children by them, but he continued his conniving and trickery. Finally, after 21 years of life on the run, Jacob decides that it's time to come home, to come clean. 21 years. A lot can happen in a span that long. Maybe, he hoped, time would heal all wounds, but as he got closer and closer to his homeland, he hears rumors that his brother Esau is still angry and wants him dead. Jacob sends a huge flock of sheep ahead of him as a gift, a peace offering to Esau, hoping to win favor or maybe at least buy him some time. And then as he approaches this river that was a boundary marker on the journey, he made a decision. He sent his two wives and his many children and servants and all of his possessions ahead of him across the river to continue on the journey while he stayed behind. He does this for their safety. Esau doesn't have anything against them. They are innocent, and so they are safer without him for now. As the darkness of night fell upon him, Jacob lay down and tried to sleep, but he couldn't. Here he was, alone, all alone. No family, no friends, no protection, no hope, nothing but his past sins to keep him awake. He knew that in the morning it would be his turn to cross the river. His time to face his past and atone for his wrongs. In the light of day, he would have to finally meet his brother face to face. And there was a strong chance he wouldn't be able to weasel his way out of this conflict. And that night, while he lay awake in the dark, suddenly a figure of a man approached his camp. Without any words of warning, the man approached and grabbed hold of Jacob. This guy was strong. But who was he? Was it Esau sneaking over the river to kill him in his sleep? No, that wasn't Esau's style. Who was this stranger in the night? Whoever he was, he had Jacob in a pretty intense headlock. But Jacob was scrappy and was able to slip out of the man's grasp just long enough to launch his own counterattack. The two men locked arms and brawled for hours and hours and hours throughout the night. They wrestled in the dark, with no one seeming to be able to gain the upper hand. Finally, the stranger took a page out of Jacob's own dirty playbook, and he punched Jacob in the hip so hard that it knocked his hip out of socket. But even with this dirty move, even with the sharp pain from the blow, Jacob would not let go of his hold. The first hints of the morning light were beginning to shine, and the stranger broke the silence as he yelled, "Let me go." Jacob said, "No, I won't let you go until you bless me. Make me a promise. Give me a blessing, and then I'll release my hold." The stranger does bless him, and he gives him a new name. He says, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God, wrestled with God." What? What did you say? After all those hours of wrestling, now at the end of the battle, the stranger finally reveals his true identity. This was no ordinary man, but the very presence of God, whom Jacob was wrestling with all along. He will forever be changed by this encounter. Jacob now has a new name, Israel, wrestles with God. He has a new name and a blessing. All his life, up until this moment, he has striven, not with God, but striven for power, striven for privilege, for control. But on this night, he had grappled with God and lived to tell the tale. Everything else was transformed and changed. His life had taken on a new perspective beyond his own ability to control. The world around him and all the other people in his life were no longer means to his own ends, objects to be manipulated, to be tricked, to be swindled. His brother was no longer someone to fear, for if you can endure a wrestling match with the Almighty, what do you have to be afraid of in the morning light? And so, as a changed man, a blessed man, a man with a new name, Israel, goes out to meet his brother face to face in the morning. He goes full of humility, begging for forgiveness for his past wrongs. When he and Esau finally see each other face to face, they embrace. Body to body, not as a wrestling match, but as a brotherly hug, they weep and are reunited. Esau looks through his tears and sees that Jacob's many children have begun to gather around him. Esau's own niece and nephews, whom he's never met. And he says to Jacob, "Introduce me to your family, to our family." This story of Jacob's conflict with his brother and his nighttime wrestling match is in many ways a telling of our own story as well. Like Jacob, we live in a world that we try to control. We live in a culture that seeks to privilege some above others. We live in a world that is so inwardly focused, a culture of greed that tells us it's okay to do whatever we can for ourselves, no matter the toll it may take on our brothers or sisters, on our world, on generations yet to come. We swindle our way through life, treating people as means to an end. But sometimes we encounter situations that we cannot control. We wrestle with powers and principalities that we cannot name in the darkness. But we wrestle nonetheless. We dare not let go, even if we don't know who or why we are fighting. We wrestle as individuals, don't we? With our own pains, with our own wounds, with our own hard and difficult pasts. Maybe it's a broken home that we've never been able to forget. Maybe it's a dead-end job or feelings of inadequacy. Maybe it's years of being put down, abused, told that we don't belong and never will. Maybe it's grief in saying goodbye to a loved one far too soon. Maybe it's depression or fear. Whatever it is, each and every one of us has those nameless powers that we wrestle with in the darkness of life. We wrestle as people, as individuals, but we also wrestle as a community. We wrestle as a nation with stories and narratives that are in conflict. We wrestle with histories and hopes that carry strong and at times divisive meanings within our national family. We wrestle still, we see, with the sin of slavery and the evil of racism that have been a part of our national story for far too long. We may have thought that that wrestling match was over. Surely we defeated those evils in the 1860s amidst the bloodshed of the Civil War. Surely it was defeated in the 1940s when American soldiers, white and black, fought side by side to oppose the evils of Nazi fascism and the horrors of the Holocaust. Surely it was defeated in the 1950s when separate but equal was ruled unjust and unequal for our schools. Surely it was defeated in the 1960s when the Civil Rights Movement ensured that all people, regardless of the color of their skin, had not only the right to vote, but equal protection under the Constitution. Surely, in each of these struggles, we thought we had prevailed against the forces of evil. We thought we had won that fight, only to have ourselves punched in the hip yet again. In recent days and throughout the last decades, as the evil of racism has reared its ugly and sinful head yet again. Our limbs as a nation are knocked out of socket. We continue to wrestle with this force. As individuals, as a community, as a country, as a whole human race, we continue to wrestle in the dark with struggles that we cannot always fully name. Our world is wounded and out of socket. But the truth of this story of Jacob tells us that blessing comes through the struggle. Blessing, life-changing, name-changing, world-changing transformation occurs only when we refuse to let go. When we refuse to tap out. When we refuse to give in to fear and hate and sin. When we refuse to abandon the scuffle that God has put before us in our own lifetime. At the end of the story, Jacob walks away from that wrestling match as a changed man, a transformed person. He walks away with a blessing. He walks away with a new name. He walks away to finally meet his brother and beg forgiveness for his past sins. But the truth is, he walks away with a limp, an injury that he will carry for the rest of his life, a scar that reminds him of the power of that struggle. As individuals, as a nation, we will not walk away from our struggles unscathed. We will bear the scars of years of wrestling with the truth. We may stumble away from these struggles with tears in our eyes, with pain that we cannot erase, but the truth is That was never the point of the struggle. Never to keep things exactly as they are. The point of the wrestling match was to engage face to face with God's transforming truth. And if that limp was a reminder of how far Jacob had come from his old days and his old ways, then that limp was something he would surely be grateful for throughout the rest of his life. So if it seems hard, if it seems confusing, if it seems difficult, if it seems like we will not come out of a struggle unscathed, don't be afraid. Don't let go. Don't tap out, don't give in before the blessing that comes for those who endure through the darkness of night until the light of the morning begins to shine. To God be all glory and honor, the God of Jacob, now and forever. Amen.